kick back and get raw with us.
From the latest hip-hop beats to social issues that cripple the black community, all from the perspective of a young, strong black woman.
A strong black woman.
And now your host, Rita.
Welcome back, everyone, for another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. It's your girl, Rita Pierre, your host. And as always, I hope you guys are striving, thriving, and surviving in these corona-infested streets. Now, we are in a whole new month. We are in the month of December, the best month ever. And more importantly, we are in the thick of Sagittarius season. So I want to take this time to shout out all of my Sag brothers and sisters. Those of you who have already celebrated your birthdays, happy birthday. And those of you who are on your way to the turn up, happy birthday to you. So I talk about being a Sag as much as I can on this platform because it is important that people know that Sagittarians are Sagittarians are the best people you will ever know in your life, right? And I will say that we are probably the most proud of all of the zodiac because once midnight hits on December 22nd, you will see nothing but Sagittarius posts from all the Sagittarians from all around the world, letting you know that Sag Nation, Sagittarius season has begun. So I think I wanted to take this time just to talk a little bit about what the traits are of a Sagittarian. Why do we think and know that we are the best? So the best traits of the Sagittarians are optimism. We're optimistic people. We are lovers of freedom. We are hilarious, fair-minded, honest, and intellectual. We are spontaneous and fun, usually with a lot of friends, and are perhaps the best conversationalists in the zodiac. Now, anybody who knows me knows that I'm a conversationalist. Anybody who knows me knows that I'm a lover of freedom. I do love my freedom, people. And those of you who know me know that I am honest to the point where it could be harsh. But I am a believer in honesty, guys. Honesty is the best policy. But I would like to say that I feel like, we are the best in the zodiac. And not to say that everybody else is not, you know, great, but there is just something about the Sagittarian. And I think that anybody who knows us can say that, you know, there's some truth to this. You know, it's not about being braggadocious. I mean, the proof is in the pudding, right? Now, we also have some negative traits. Obviously, everybody has negative traits, but our negative traits are also very interesting. We are easily bored and we move on. If someone wants to stir the pot, we are quick to walk away. We don't have time. We don't have time to deal with people and their BS, right? So that is kind of the negativity. That's where people are like, oh, Sagittarians, they're very like quick to like cut people off. We're quick to move forward. It's because we don't have time. And we are honestly bored very easily. So if you're not an interesting person, if you cannot keep our attention, we will walk away. But either way, I want to take this time to thank everyone who gave me birthday shout outs. My birthday was December 4th. It was just this past Friday. Jay-Z and I oftentimes celebrate in spirit, but because of the pandemic, you know, it didn't happen that way. But either way, I wanted to say thank you guys. Your messages, your voice notes, your video montages, all of those things really brought a smile to my face because all of us who have celebrated so far during this pandemic know that the pandemic birthday is not what's up. At this point, I would have been still in bed from a night out on the town, turning up with my friends. But here I am, coherent and able to record this show for you guys today, which should not have happened. This should have been a replay episode, but the pandemic. But I do want to thank you guys. I turned 37 this year. Not ashamed to say how old I am because I'm Benjamin Button and I age like fine wine. And I am so grateful that God allowed me to see another year, but to see 37 years, right? So many people have, you know, passed away and did not have the opportunity to get this far. So I know that there are great things in store for me, that God would not bring me this far for no reason. I know that I have a purpose that I am hopefully one day going to fulfill on this earth. And I'm just really grateful and just really thankful for all of the many blessings. Even during this pandemic, I've been blessed. I have been kept. God has kept me. And I am so grateful and so thankful for all of that. And I'm thankful for all of you guys. A lot of you have been rocking with According to RP for the last 2.5 years now. And you're still here. And I appreciate your feedback. I appreciate your comments. I appreciate the engagement that we have during the week on the post. Really, really appreciate all of you. And, you know, somebody asked me the other day, what am I looking for in this year of 37? And I can say that the pandemic has totally changed my mindset when it comes to certain things. And so I'm no longer looking, I'm claiming, right? So for the year of 37, I am claiming, you know, great health, because health is wealth. And I think that this pandemic has definitely shown us that, right? If you don't have your health, you have nothing. So I am claiming great health. I am claiming an abundance of wealth, dollar bills, greenbacks, whatever we want to call them. I am claiming that. I am claiming home ownership in the year of 2021. I am claiming stronger relationships with friends and family. I am claiming love in my life for the year of 37. So I am claiming all of these things. And I know that if I'm intentional, if I'm direct with what I'm claiming, I will receive them. So this is going to be the best year yet. Even though we are in a pandemic still, I am claiming that this is going to be the best year of my life. So again, thank you all. Thank you all. Thank you all. Either way, moving on to more important things. This week, we do not have a guest, but we are going to talk about a couple of things that reared their ugly heads in the media this week. This week has been quite interesting. So we are going to talk about Twerkgate. I don't know if you guys were aware of the situation that happened in Dallas, where a restaurant owner went viral for reprimanding these ladies who were twerking in his restaurant. There's been so many opinions on this particular issue, so I do want to get into that. We're going to talk about the major hype fiasco. Again, those of you who are not aware or have been living under a rock, the last couple of days have been quite interesting. And the reason I want to talk about it is not, you know, to really start a gossip section, but it's really to address this issue of domestic violence and narcissism within the Black community. And we oftentimes talk about domestic violence on this show, because domestic violence is not a one day thing. It's not a month of October remembrance. It's 365 days a year. And it's something that, although it affects all communities and everyone across the board, for whatever reason, the way that we in the Black community discuss domestic violence, address domestic violence, is very concerning. And so this is why we talk about it a lot. It's not to say that Black people beat up their spouses and loved ones more than any other race. It's the way that we identify the issues. It's the way that we talk about the issues, and we need to do better about it. And I feel like this major hype situation that everybody spent their time watching on Friday, including me, definitely there's a lot of red flags there, and there's a lot of inaccurate messaging that I think was sent. And for those young people who might have been watching it, I feel like I have to dispel some of the myths that were portrayed, that were displayed in this 85-minute conversation that Major Hype felt like he needed to share on Instagram Live. So I definitely want to get into that. But before we get into those meats, right, I want to get into the preliminary. So it is now time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
Do you understand the words that are coming out of my mouth?
May I have the definition?
What does skeet skeet mean?
What's on fleek?
Can you use it in a sentence?
And it's gonna be lit.
Major Key.
It's time for the Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week.
So this week's Urban Dictionary word or phrase of the week is micro cough. Micro cough, a tiny, almost imperceptible cough, usually hidden behind a mask due to emphysema, asthma, allergies, or the dreaded coronavirus, so as to not alarm others to your potential of being the infected. Example, I was walking through the grocery store and I had a tickle in my throat, but I didn't want people to think I was contagious, so I let out a micro cough. Now, listen, this micro cough situation is real. I am somebody who oftentimes gets a little tickle in their throat, right? I actually do have allergies. I'm allergic to all sorts of pollens and molds and whatnot. And I am always, you know, things are always going down the wrong pipe. I'm drinking water and next thing you know, like I'm coughing my lungs out, right? Things are always going down the wrong pipe. So this micro cough situation has been real for me because you know that in these pandemic times, anyone who lets out a sniffle, anyone who lets out a little cough, people are looking at you and people are judging you. And by people, I mean myself. Because I'm also judging, okay? Coronavirus is real. I am also judging. When I hear a cough, I'm automatically like, where'd that come from? So as much as I judge, I've also, you know, I also don't want to be a victim, right? Because I know how judgy I am with that. I have definitely let out micro coughs, you know, enough to like satisfy the tickle in the throat, but enough so that people are not like, whoa, what's going on over there? So I feel like it's been a while since I found an Urban Dictionary word that really, really like honed in on what, you know, that really made sense, I guess. So the micro cough one, definitely. Whoever submitted this one, you get the cake. It's been a while. You get the cake. Either way, moving on to the next section of the show. It is now time for the big up of the week. Watch it. And you feel big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. All of the girl them big up, big up. All of the woman them big up, big up. So this week's big up of the week goes to a young black brother by the name of Malik Senegal. Malik Senegal hails from Biloxi, Mississippi, and he is 23 years old. But why is he getting the big up of the week? Well, he is the youngest black person in history to become a certified Boeing 777 pilot. And this is a very big deal because we know that the Boeing is like the upper echelon, top echelon of all of the aircrafts. And so for him being the youngest black person in history, we are in 2020, guys, and we are now still talking about the youngest black person in history, or the black person in history to achieve certain, you know, goals and milestones is crazy to me. But nonetheless, this young black brother from Mississippi, from the SIP, is the youngest black person in history to become a certified Boeing 777 pilot. And so I really, really commend him for reaching this goal and for achieving this milestone. But I also appreciate the fact that we have these young brothers serving as role models for other young black children, right? That they can see that, wow, I can become a pilot, because we do not see many black pilots, especially young black pilots, right? We do not see that. And I love when I have like young black people who are doing out of the box things, different things. Although, yes, it's important that we have our doctors, our lawyers, our engineers, but it's amazing to be able to show this, you know, the next generation that you can be whatever you want to be. You can be a pilot. You can be an astronaut. You can be something that's just not the typical doctor, lawyer, engineer, accountant, right? And so I really love highlighting these types of, you know, individuals who are breaking barriers, because that's exactly what this young man did. He broke barriers so that next year, right, and the year after, we can hear about more young black men and women who are becoming pilots and certified Boeing 777 pilots, right? So big up to you, Malik Senegal, for being an example to the young that, you know, you can achieve your dreams. It, you know, even if you are young, you can, you know, you can make history. So I love seeing these things. So big up to you. So last week or 2 weeks ago, I promised that we would be inserting a new segment onto this show called the Haitian Word or Phrase of the Week. And so to keep up with my promise, this week, our Haitian Creole Word or Phrase of the Week is Allo ki Jean Ouye. So Allo ki Jean Ouye simply means, hi, how are you? Allo, hello, hi, ki Jean, how, ouye, are you? Allo, ki Jean, ouye. Practice that this week, guys. And if you need any assistance, just slip into my DM. But I definitely think that this is important because it's a part of me that I'm sharing with you. But it's important to learn other languages. And Haitian Creole is a language that, especially if you live in Flatbush, Brooklyn, Canarsie, Brooklyn, it is like the second language, right? So it is important that you all learn a little bit of Creole so that you can know when somebody is talking about you. Thank you. You're welcome. So normally at this point, I would be announcing the Womp Womp of the Week. But because the Womp Womp of the Week is essentially the meat of the show, I'll reserve it to that point. However, before we move forward, I do want to talk about Twerk Gate. So for those of you who are not aware, there was a video that went viral this week of a restaurant owner in Dallas, of this restaurant called True Kitchen Plus Cocktails. The owner of the restaurant's name is Kevin Kelly. And so essentially what took place at this restaurant was a couple of ladies were twerking, right? That's why I'm calling it Twerkgate. A couple of ladies were twerking. There was a DJ there that was, I guess, apparently playing twerk-worthy music. And these women were getting on furniture in the restaurant and just making it clap, right? So apparently, according to reports, the restaurant owner, Kevin, had approached these twerking ladies prior to the video actually taking place, right? Prior to the recording of this video, he had approached these women and asked them to please sit down, get off the furniture and sit down, that this is a restaurant and we're here to eat, not to twerk. But apparently, I guess the vibes were so crazy that the women could not sit still in their seats and they continued to get up. Some went to the wall, were twerking on a wall. Others, again, went back on furniture and continued to, you know, make it clap and do all that twerking stuff. And that, I guess, boiled Kevin's blood to the point where he had to do a public reprimand. He asked the DJ to shut it down so that he can have a conversation with the patrons of the restaurant. Now, essentially, Kelly approached the public and admonished these women publicly by stating that he invested a lot of money into buying this building, into developing this concept so Black people can have somewhere nice to go. Somewhere where we can feel good about ourselves. Now, I understand where he's going, right? Where he's coming from, because he had a vision, right, for the culture. However, I think what really turned some people off about his statement is the choice words that he used in between the sentences, right? The curse words, the profanity, right, that was used. He told people to get the F out, you know, and the F word was just thrown in a couple more times in his explanation to the patrons as to why he's not tolerating this twerk fest happening in his restaurant and how he, you know, again, is trying to move the culture forward and all of this other stuff. I think that people would have respected him a little more had he not told people to get the F out, and if you don't effing like it, you know, all this extra stuff. I think if he came at, without maybe the curse words, people would have respected him more. But there have been a lot of opinions as to, you know, this twerk fest situation, right? I remember seeing one person making a comment on social media stating that, well, it's on you because you shouldn't have been playing twerk music. You shouldn't have been playing trap music. How are you going to play this kind of music and expect people not to get up and twerk? I don't agree with that statement because I have been to plenty of restaurants and I love to dance. Anybody who knows me, once I hear a song, I love to dance and I love to move. But I'm not going into a restaurant, even if I go into a restaurant that plays trap music, that plays, you know, quote unquote twerk music, I might be bopping my head. I might be moving side to side, snapping my fingers. Nothing is compelling me, though, to go get out of my seat, grab a wall, and start dropping it like it's hot in the middle of a restaurant. Nothing is prompting me to get up, stand on my chair, and make it clap. Like that's not what's happening, right? And so I understand where Mr. Kelly is coming from. Like, he didn't create this establishment for those purposes. This is not a club. It's a sit-down restaurant. I can understand if it was a club, right? If it was 40-40 and if it was, you know, or if it was a restaurant that promoted such activity, such as the Woodlands, who has shut down, RIP Woodlands in Brooklyn, New York, right? That promoted this type of ratchetry. I could understand that. But it doesn't seem from the reports that this was a restaurant that promoted ratchetry. And just because you play trap music and twerk music does not mean you're inviting people to get onto the floor and drop it like it's hot. You know what I mean? I've been to plenty of restaurants where they play this music and the most you will see is people snapping and bobbing in their seats. They're not getting up and going and finding a wall in the middle of a restaurant to go twerk when everybody else is sitting down enjoying their meal. So that comment about, well, it's on you, you know, the music that you play is what invites. No. It's not strictly about because you play trap music, you are now if people start twerking in your restaurant, that's on you. That's not the case. I don't agree with that at all. I also heard many people state that, you know what, he should have never addressed the crowd, period. Whether with the curse words or not, he should have never come out and did, you know, publicly admonish these women. And I don't agree with that. I feel like this is his restaurant, right? Now, if, you know, if people don't want to go back there because they don't like the way that he spoke to the patrons, curse words or not, you're free to take your business elsewhere. But I think that if he had a vision for this restaurant, if he, you know, is the owner of this restaurant, he has the right to curate the type of feel that he wants for this restaurant. So if he does not want this to be a ratchet establishment, he has the right to not want this restaurant to be a ratchet establishment. The same way when you go to these restaurants owned by others, right? Non-black people, and they have their protocol where they don't want you to come in with sneakers or jeans, or they want you to come in with a button-up shirt. They are trying to create the experience that they want for their restaurant. It's not to say that if you wear jeans and sneakers, you're a bum or you're whatever. They want a certain look. They want to introduce a certain class, right, to this restaurant. And that is totally fine because you know what? It's their restaurant. If you want ratchet, go find a ratchet restaurant. If you want fine dining, if you want, you know, if you want a nice, peaceful experience, if you want a regular, non-club experience, then you go to that location, right? You go to that space. It's okay to curate and to create what your vision is. And so I find that the people who are like, he didn't have a right to say that and all this other stuff, like, you must not own businesses, right? You must not own businesses, because you start a business because you have a vision for it. And you're not about to let anybody hijack your vision. You're not about to let anybody come in and invoke or impose their vision on your space. It doesn't work like that. So I personally think that he could have used better language. I think that as a professional who is demanding professionalism, right, in his establishment, he should not have been popping off at the mouth talking about F this, F that. I understand that some of you guys have said that, listen, enough was enough and he just was not having it. I get it. But there's still a level of professionalism that needs to be had, especially when you are demanding people to be professional in your establishment. You are the leader. You set the tone. You know, you can be mad and you can be frustrated all you want, but you didn't have to curse at these people. You didn't have to drop the F word like that, right? That was not professional. And in a sense, you were kind of feeding into that ratchet behavior, right? So that's my take on Twerkgate. I know a lot of people had a lot of different things to say about it. And it's literally been a controversy, right? Like, that's what the news is calling it, a controversy. But I think that he did what he needed to do for the betterment of his establishment. I just wish that he would have, you know, used some cleaner language when you're approaching and addressing the masses, right? So that's my take on this. We are now on to the meat of the show. Major hype situation. Everybody has been talking about it, so I feel like I should also talk about it. But the reason I wanted to talk about it is because I feel like there was so much misinformation, so much, I don't know. I feel like there were so many young people who were watching this and they walked away with some bad takeaways. And I feel like as somebody who is in the business of dispelling myths and bringing forth positivity and trying to really educate the community in whatever capacity that I can, that I would be doing a disservice if I did not address the situation, right? So I'm not here to, like, you know, be a gossip monger, but I feel like we have to address this situation so that we can really shine light on some of the missteps that took place. So for those of you who do not know what this major hype fiasco is, essentially, in a nutshell, this is what it is. His ex, you know, fiance, who goes by the name of Kirby, also apparently a social media personality, came on and did an Instagram live sharing her truth. And her truth was that she had been abused by her ex-fiance, which is Maja Hype, who is a comedian that a lot of people within the Black community, the Caribbean Black community in particular, you know, love, right? We love his skits. We love watching Maja Hype. We love seeing him, you know, make fun of, not really make fun of, but really highlight the nuances in our Caribbean culture, right? And so she came out and she shared her truth, and she said that she was not going to be silent anymore. And she talked about the abuse that she suffered at the hands of Maja Hype. She then, you know, showed pictures of black eyes and things like that that she posted. Again, it's not something she wanted to do, but I think it just came to the point. In every victim's life, there is a point where it's too much. And she decided that this was her point, and she came out and she spoke about it, right, on an Instagram live. Now, in between that, it looks like Maja Hype, and I didn't see those videos, I think came out with his own Instagram live, right? And apparently after she posted her live, the first live, coming out and apologizing to her friends and family for isolating them and explaining why, which was because she was being abused, a sex tape was leaked of her from over 10 years ago. And in this, you know, she made a second live calling out Maja Hype, whose real name is Nigel, telling him that, you know, or really accusing him of putting out this sex tape and basically telling him about himself and how he's not going to break her. He's not going to silence her. And that, you know, by him releasing this sex tape of her just really goes to his character, right? Of just being a wicked person. So the accusation is that Major Hype is the one who released the sex tape to disparage her, right? To give her a bad name and to really discredit her. As if what you did in the past or what what you're cheating or whatever it was that he claims that she's done gives justification for having, you know, beating someone's ass. But that's besides the point. So now, as a response, it looks like, to Kirby's lives, right? Major Hype decided that on December 4th, on my birthday, he was going to have a 85-minute Instagram live in which he saved to his page, so you can go onto his page to watch this. It wasn't good enough that it was just 85 minutes of your life being wasted and alive, right? He saved it so that people can go back and refer. Like, he wanted people to really see this live. Now, all throughout the day, or during this 85 minutes rather, I was getting this live sent to my inbox. People were like, yo, watch this, which is how I ended up watching it. I didn't watch all 85 minutes, but I watched the majority of it. And what I saw was disgusting. Major Hype essentially spent 85 minutes justifying why he beat this girl's ass, literally, is what I saw. I have never seen such narcissism displayed on social media aside from the Trump presidency. Never in my life. And I have met some narcissists in my life. I have met some black men narcissists in my life, and I have been victims of them. But I have never, never seen anything that rose to this level in my life. And it was disgusting to watch. In this 85 minutes that you all are welcome to go view for yourself, this man started off by saying he's not going to embarrass Kirby. He's not here to disparage Kirby. But he did exactly that. On the Instagram live, he talked about how he, you know, was cheated on by this girl and how he, you know, she shared his secrets and spilled the beans on some private matters and in a sense was trying to make himself a victim by talking about how he was molested when he was younger. Gaslighting, right? This was not a Instagram live about, you know, molestation and being in solidarity and you know, ending, you know, molestation and talking about molestation in the black community. He used his story of being molested as a way to paint himself as a victim in this whole domestic violence fiasco, because he went on to say that Kirby, he shared this information with her and she threw it in his face. I guess my question is the fact that she threw it in his face justification for him to beat her ass? Like, we always have to go back to the root cause, right? To the root, to the essential point of the matter. Is the fact that she allegedly threw your molestation in your face reason enough for you to beat her ass? So that's point one. Trying to make himself a victim by talking about how he was molested. I would have respected that conversation if this was a conversation about how in our black community we need to, you know, start believing our children when they say they're molested. We need to start calling out these uncles and these aunties and these people who we know as a community are molesting people and molesting children, and we say nothing. I would have respected it if that was the conversation, but that wasn't. He brought that up to make himself a victim, because that's the only reason that you would bring that up, right? When we are talking about a domestic violence matter. The other thing that I thought was quite interesting in this entire like fiasco was the fact that he felt necessary to reveal all of these secrets within Kirby's life. So apparently he tried to give the rundown as to how he got her phone. And he was saying basically that she was trying to hide the phone from him because she knew that, you know, there was stuff in her phone. I guess that would be incriminating. Essentially, Kirby was, I think, accusing him of cheating. And so in his mind, it's like, why are you on me like this? Why do you want to be in my phone like this? Let me see what's in your phone. Because there's that idea, right? If you're accusing me of cheating, you must be doing the same, if not worse. So he goes on to talk about how he ended up getting this girl's phone. And what he found in the phone was just mind-boggling, mind-blowing. So in her phone, allegedly, were all these conversations with various men, were all these conversations with her in different group chats with her ladies talking about, I guess, cheating. And so he decided to expose all of this on Instagram because now there's a feature. It's kind of like a Zoom where you share your screen, where you are now able to share the screen and you can see what it is that the person, you know, wants to show you. So during that 85-minute period, he has showed us dick pics of penises that were apparently in her phone, in her messages. I have not seen so many penises in my life, and I can be very honest with you. I have not, because I'm not for the streets. So therefore, I have not had this type of exposure. I have not seen this many penises in my life. I have not. I was very, very disgusted at the fact that, okay, let's say she was cheating. Let's say she did have all of these penises. I don't know. But why are you showing 60,000 viewers penises in her phone? And it's not even the fact that he was showing these penises, right? It's the fact that he's exposing the owners of these penises because he was showing the conversation thread that included the penises. So there are a lot of men who have now been identified as the owners of these penises. Like, these, there are a lot of men now who have been exposed in these streets. And then he kept saying, you know, no disrespect to anybody who's involved in this. Yes, much disrespect, because I'm pretty sure the owners of those penises did not want their penises to be debuted on social media for 60,000 plus people to see, because he saved the life. So now millions of people have probably viewed the penises of these men, right? The conversations, the private conversations in the group chats were also exposed. We were literally seeing the names of the individuals who are in this group chat conversation and the things that they were saying, exposing people right from left on social media, reading text messages verbatim, exposing family members, exposing family secrets. Like, this was the most, like, I have never in my life bared witness to something like this. And it's really concerning because in his rant, in his 85-minute rant that really made no sense if you were paying attention, he made a lot of blanket statements that I feel that young people who saw this are going to take it and run. And I feel like for the domestic violence movement, this is definitely like a nick. It definitely sets it back in the Black community because of the many things that he stated. And I feel like a lot of people will believe, right? So one of the things that he essentially, I guess, I don't know, condone or the point that he was trying to make that I feel like young people will adopt is that cheating justifies an ass whooping. Because that is one of the many themes that he kept pushing, the narrative that he kept pushing within this 85-minute conversation was the fact that she cheated on me. And let me show you how she cheated on me. And let me show you who she cheated on me with. And let me show you all of the proof, all of the dick pics, all of the penis pics. Let me show you the group chats with her girlfriends about sex and all this other stuff. And all of this to say what? To say that it was okay for you to lay hands on her because she cheated on you? unacceptable. If somebody is cheating on you in a relationship, leave them. You have the right to leave. If you do not like how you are being treated in a relationship, if you are in a committed relationship, let's qualify that. You are in a committed relationship with somebody and you found out that they are cheating on you, and you address them and have a conversation, and it gets to the point where you cannot forgive them, you cannot repair the relationship, you leave them. You do not put your hands on them. You do not beat them because they cheated on you. You leave them, or you go to therapy and you work it out, but you do not put your hands on your significant other, man or woman, because DV goes both ways, because they cheated on you. That is not okay. The second thing that he said that was quite interesting is that he was going on and on about how she is a cop, and essentially that because she's a cop, she can't be a victim. Like, oh, she's a cop, so if I really did this to her, there would be police reports. She would have pressed charges. She's a police officer. How are you going to be a police officer and accept somebody beating on you? Cops can be victims too, because you know what? Cops are human beings. Whether it be a man or a woman, again, police, law enforcement, although I don't agree with a lot of the things that they're doing these days, they are people too. And when they enter into their relationships with their significant others, they are people too. In fact, the cop part might be left at the door once they walk into their house. So the fact that you're trying to make this analogy or paint this narrative that if you are a cop, if you are law enforcement, you cannot be a victim of domestic violence. And therefore, any cop that comes out to say that they are victims of domestic violence are liars, it's false. And it's crazy to me that this is the type of rhetoric that was essentially being spewed in this live. Because now you're going to have young people think that, well, if my significant other is a law enforcement, or if I have a family member, or if I have a friend who's law enforcement, and they're saying that they're victims of domestic violence, they're lying. It's not true. That's very dangerous to put out. Very dangerous to put out. The other thing that he said that I also thought was quite interesting is the fact that he tried to, again, paint this narrative that he, you know, no one has come out to say that he ever abused them. And so the fact that Kirby came out to say that he abused her must be false because there's no record of him being an abuser, right? So essentially, he kept going on saying, so I'm an abuser now. I just became an abuser. I just started hitting women. So nobody before ever said anything. Now you're coming out and you're saying that I abused you. So I just became an abuser. Like, if I really was an abuser, you would have heard about it before. This would not be the first time. And that is a bold-faced lie. And that is dangerous thinking. That is false rhetoric. There are so many reasons why people do not come forward to and accuse their abusers. Who knows how many other women have been victims of Major Hype in the past, right? And have not come out because of his celebrity, because of his fame, because they know that the community is not as supportive as they should be when it comes to matters of domestic violence. So by him saying and trying to convince us, the followers and the spectators, that Kirby has to be lying because you've never heard my name mixed up in domestic violence before. And so because you've never heard my name mixed up in domestic violence before, Kirby has to be lying because there has to be a record. Y'all had to have heard my name mixed up in this before in order for this to be true. And that is false. And on top of that, I did hear that somebody came out from before accusing him of domestic violence. So I don't know where he's going with all of this, but this type of rhetoric is dangerous for our community, because you will have people, and I've seen them in the comments talk about, yup, I never heard Major Hype involved in any domestic violence before, so Kirby must be lying. And that is not true. She might be the first person to come out and say something. And imagine if she didn't, and he beat up somebody else in a couple of years or next week or whatever. Would we use the same rhetoric to say that this other woman is lying? we have to be mindful of the negativity that's being spewed here. And we have to dissect these conversations, these viral conversations, so that we can get in front of the misinformation that is being disseminated. Because a lot of people are going to hang on to what he said, to his justifications and explanations as to why he didn't do what he's being accused of. And that is going to be dangerous for us as a community, as we have domestic violence happening each and every day. How are we going to help each other? How are we going to be vigilant when it comes to our loved ones and our friends who may be experiencing domestic violence, if we are being, you know, fed false narratives? Domestic violence is something that is real. And I used to be a domestic violence prosecutor. So that is why this is something that has always been near and dear to my heart, because I know what happens, right? I see what happens. I see how domestic violence plays out. I see what happens to the victims and the abusers, right? Like, it's very intricate. It is not something that is just black and white. It is very complicated. It is very scary. And for domestic violence to be played out on social media in the way that it was in these last couple of days, between Kirby coming out and addressing the public about her abuse, and Major Hype addressing, you know, in a sense, clapping back the way that he did, it just goes to show how much more education is needed in our community. By looking at the comments under all of these videos and posts, it is clear to me that our community needs a serious education when it comes to what is domestic violence and how it actually occurs, what a victim is, what an abuser is. I will say Major Hype's 85-minute live is essentially another example of domestic violence, because cyber domestic violence is also a thing, right? Social media is also a vehicle in which domestic violence can be, you know, can be pushed forth. So him embarrassing her, disparaging her, revealing her personal stuff, the dick pics, the penis pics, trying to paint her as a whore, trying to paint her as, you know, somebody who's for the streets, trying to paint her as somebody who, in a sense, deserves, right, whatever it is that she got because of her, you know, private behavior, putting out her private conversations with her. Think about yourself. Do you want your private conversations with your girlfriends and friends out for the public to see? Nobody does. Even if you don't have this type of salaciousness happening in your inboxes, you don't want, there's a reason that you have your privacy in your phone, right? It's not for the world to see. And it's funny because the Follow Soka, which is an Instagram personality, she made this very clear. Okay, there are dick pics and penis pics in one's phone. That doesn't mean that she took all of them. That doesn't mean that she had sex with all of these men. I can tell you that I received one in my DM on Instagram, and I was from some random ass people, because there are people who just, I don't know what's up with Instagram's privacy, you know, policies now, but you can legit have somebody just send you a penis pic of theirs in your DM, like legit. And you don't even know who this person is. So the fact that she had all of these penis pics does not even mean that she actually, you know, did anything with them. Now, someone did make a comment that, you know, when you're in a relationship, you receive them, you delete them, and you tell your man or your woman about them or whatever. Okay, whatever. But the point is that this is domestic violence right here, what he did for 85 minutes, putting her whole business out there, revealing the innermost details of her cell phone, of her private life, to embarrass her, to paint her as a hoe, to paint her as somebody deserving of the abuse. That is essentially what he did, is to make her so incredible that you wouldn't believe, you're either not going to believe that she's a victim of domestic violence, or you're going to believe that she deserves what she got. That is what that 85-minute live Instagram did. That's what he was trying to do. Because if you think about it, anyone, any sane individual, any individual who was of the sound mind and who did not have an agenda, a malicious agenda, would not get on Instagram Live for 85 minutes and disparage and embarrass this woman who he claims he still loves, who he knows has a son who is likely going to see this at some point, that she has a mother. No man, real man, would get on Instagram Live for even 2 minutes to do what he did. A man who was cheated on, a man who was accused of domestic violence, whether it happened or not, would not take to Instagram to give us childhood stories, to paint himself as a victim, to make her look like she's a whore, to give innermost details dating back 2017, 18, or whenever it is they got together. They would not have done that. What we saw was a disgusting display of narcissism in the Black community. It was a disgusting display by an individual who needs help, who needs mental health intervention, somebody who needs a therapist. That is what we saw. And I also am not 100% in agreement with Kirby coming out and, you know, having the social media heart to heart either. But that's personally because I'm a private person and I would never in a million years take to social media with these types of, you know, with this type of heaviness. But that's me, because I just don't put my life like that on social media. But for her, it was a different experience. I think she had a women Wednesdays. And I think that for her, this was part of her healing, because she has such a following, to let people know what was going on in her life. And that live might have saved someone else, right? So I can't, although I might not be in 100% agreement, I can't shun her for the way that she wanted to share her truth. However, the clap back from Major Hype, because now he wants to share his truth. If you really pay attention to what was said, if you really take the time to watch that 85 minute special, because that's what it was, you will be as disgusted as I was. You will be as concerned as I was, or as I am, for especially the younger generation that was watching it and the takeaways that they took from it. I'm also very concerned about the state of Black women, because, you know, we're in this era where everyone's talking about support Black women, women empowerment, women are wanting to empower others, and this whole Black women movement is going on. And it was so disgusting for me to see how many Black women were jumping on the Major Hype bandwagon to disparage Kirby. Again, there's always two sides of the story, right? I'm not saying that this woman, who I don't know from a can of paint, is, you know, 100% truthful in everything that she was saying. However, I do believe that abuse took place. I do believe that she was a victim. And Major Hype's 85 minute specials told me all I needed to know to verify and to really, you know, conclude that he did what he was accused of. But the women in the comments were like, she's a hoe. You know, what did she do? She's just there for clout. She's doing all this for clout. She was just after his money anyways. I don't believe her. It was just so disgusting to see that type of rhetoric going on from Black women, right? What I will say next, though, is shout out to all of the Instagram investigators that are out there that are doing their best to protect Black women in these senses, right? So follow Soka, that's her IG handle, I don't know what her real name is, has been really going hard with this particular issue, really going hard and calling for all of us to cancel Major Hype. I know some of you guys are not part of cancel culture, but I feel like this one right here is someone that does deserve to be canceled, right? She went as far, because a lot of people, again, are like, we don't believe her. We don't believe this. She went on and she actually did her investigative work, and you could go onto her page, and I think I might repost it according to RP. She actually found a clip of when Major Hype was doing a skit in his bed and compared it to the picture of Kirby with her two black eyes in the same bed, with the same pillowcase and the same headboard. And in the caption, Kirby was like, do you really want us to believe, or are we to believe, that these are not the same pillowcases? And I even looked at the headboard, and it's the same fiber of the headboard. So it just goes to show that this girl was abused. This girl is a domestic violence survivor who is looking to move forward with her life, but this man, Major Hype, is refusing for her to do so. Accused her of releasing her own sex tape, accused her of being a hoe, accused her of being all sorts of disgusting, all sorts of evil, only to what? To take the light away from the real issue, which was, or which is, that you are a domestic violence abuser. You did all of that to distract us from the truth, which a lot of us know is that you are an abuser. It's disgusting. And I feel like as a community, we have to call these things out as we see them. We have to, because domestic violence is real and it happens to everyone. Yes. But for whatever reason in the Black community, the way that we are having these conversations, the way that we are conveying these messages, it's detrimental. We're not doing enough. I feel like we're still holding back, you know? So it was just, it's so disturbing. It was, and it still is so disturbing how all of this is playing out in our community. And so I wanted to take this time to really talk about what was seen here, because this was like the slap heard around the world, this whole Major Hype situation. Everybody and their mother, for the most part, was on it, watching it, making commentary, digesting it, right? And I just want to make sure that, you know, when we're watching these things, that we really look at what it is that we're, you know, watching, and we pay attention to what we're hearing. This was a spectacle. It was a spectacle, to say the least. What I also learned is that we, as a people, me included, we have time. We have time to sit and watch an 85-minute live on a Friday afternoon at 3 p.m. during the working business hour, right? We have the time, apparently, to do this. Yet, we don't have time for positive conversations. We don't have time to listen to things that are really uplifting our community. If I were to do a Instagram live on domestic violence, talking about, you know, how do you identify a domestic violence? How do we help those that are domestic violence survivors? What is domestic violence? If I were to have an Instagram live for even 30 minutes about this topic to really dispel myths and to really get to the bottom of how we can really strengthen relationships and create positive relationships, healthy relationships, I would have 10 viewers at 3 p.m., maybe 5 viewers. No, I would not have 1,000 viewers. I would not even have 100 viewers. I would say right now, I would bet that I would have between 3, maybe 10 viewers that would be hopping in and out. So not even consistently watching. So that goes to show where our priorities are as a community. Something that is salacious, something that is dirty, something that is scandalous, we will spend 85 minutes watching. 60,000 people plus were watching this consistently for 85 minutes. But y'all would not spend 30 minutes listening to a power presentation about finance in the community, about how to establish healthy relationships. You guys would not. And that is sad. And we have to do better. We all have to do better. So with that being said, trying to end it on a positive note, but I mean, we're talking about domestic violence. We're talking about the ills of our community. A little difficult to do that. But I will say is that we need to do better. We need to do better as a community. We need to call out people who are doing stupidness in our community. And we have to, if we're talking about being one, if we're talking about we all we got, if we're talking about we got to step up for each other, we need to do better. We need to hold each other accountable. We need to call them out. We need to call Major Hype out. I haven't seen any celebrities stand up for him as of yet, which goes to show that I think that they also just don't want to be mixed up in this mess. And they probably know what we all know. But we need to call people out. And we need to, if we're going to talk about we're a community, then we need to be a community. And that means when craziness is happening, when people are wilding out, we need to band together. And we need to stand against that person who's wilding out in love, right? In love, because I believe that he has mental illness and so he needs to get his help. But we cannot support this, and we cannot put down victims of domestic violence because we now know that she might be a little loose with it. Being a little loose with it does not justify being abused. If that's her life, that's her life. But she does not deserve to be disparaged and to be made, more of a victim, to be re-victimized and to be called names and to be painted as some hoe that deserved a beating. We need to step away from that. We need, and I think that that's where the education comes from of what is domestic violence, you know? Why is it not okay to beat on somebody else? And we need to open up our eyes and we need to be more vigilant and we need to stop being part of the problem. We need to stop engaging in this negative and dangerous rhetoric, because although you might be like, yeah, it's whatever, the kids are watching. The next generation is watching, and let's not be surprised if they start mimicking some of this behavior. And now we're going to wonder, oh my gosh, where did they get this from? They got it from you. They got it from you. They are watching. Social media is available for everyone, and these kids are on social media and they are watching how we react to these things. They are watching what we are saying, watching what we are doing. They are vigilant, and we need to do better, not just for us, but for them. So with that being said, everyone, thank you for tuning into another episode of According to RP on WJMS Radio. I hope you guys have an amazing week, and I'll talk to you guys next week.
You were listening to According to RP on WJMS Radio.
About time you tuned in.
Tune in each and every Sunday.
I can't wait to come back.